So right out of the gate this morning, in your bulletin, there's a passage from the book of Philippians. We're going to get to that a little bit later. I'm going to change it on you just a little bit. We're going to start in the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Those are not in your bulletin, so you can grab a pew Bible and follow along. You can pull it up on your phone if you'd like, or you can just sit and listen, because this is a great Jesus story. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, and saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So there's a painting that hangs on the wall in the chapel at Ingham Lake Bible Camp. I saw this painting for the first time 20 years ago. We were talking this morning. I spent a summer working at Ingham Lake Bible Camp as the maintenance guy. That summer, 20 years ago, changed my life. It's a place where my faith really deepened and began to grow. It's also a place where I fell in love and met my wife. That painting figures prominently in my faith. It's an image that will forever be ingrained here. And it's a painting of this story of Peter having stepped out of the boat up to his waist in the water, reaching out, and Jesus standing on the waves, reaching down to pull him back up while the wind and the waves swirl around him. We got to see that painting this summer. We went up to Ingham to pick up Emerson, our youngest, from camp. And it was remarkable. I wondered for a long time, is that painting still there? A lot had changed in Ingham since we worked there so long ago. And I was happy to see that that painting was on the back wall of the chapel. And I'm pretty confident it has not been touched, dusted, moved, nothing in 20 years. It looks exactly the same. That was kind of cool. But I love this story. This is probably my favorite Jesus story in the Gospels, in large part because I resonate so much with Peter in this story. I've always wondered what it was like for him to stand at the edge of that boat, to hear Jesus say, "Follow, come, come," and to look at the wind and the waves and take that first step. And I always imagine a second and a third step before he starts to sink. And distracted, I suppose, by the worries of life, the what-ifs of being human, of getting his feet wet. I told you a few weeks back I would get the chance, I'd take the time to tell you the story of this new adventure in my life, and I'm excited to be able to tell you that story today. And I realize in the context of this week, as I wrote this sermon probably 100 times in my head and a bunch of times on paper as well, that where God has called me to truly is my step out of the boat moment. A moment when I finally stopped being afraid of being of something new. A moment where comfort became less important to me than following the voice of my Savior. When I stopped being afraid of the what-ifs and took that step of faith. So the truth is, I've been praying for a long time. I graduated seminary in 2011. And from that moment began to pray, okay, what's next? Right? My life up to that point had been having kids, settling into a new city. I'm a small town kid at heart. We'd established a life here, and when Pastor John came, I remember he asked me, I didn't say this at the first service, he asked me, what are we going to do with you? How do we invest in you? And that started the journey to go to seminary. And you know, being a guy with kind of a restless heart anyways, it's always good to have something going on. Well, 2011 rolls around and I graduate seminary and I'm praying, God, what's next? What do you want for me? What's next? And I heard consistently, wait. I believe God answers our prayers oftentimes in three ways. Yes, no, or wait. And I heard a whole lot of wait from 2011 forward. During that time, our church changed significantly. We began to really grasp what it is to be missional, to live on purpose for the sake of God's kingdom. We saw some amazing things happen. There were some really hard things we went through as leadership, as staff. Some hard things we went through personally here. And praying all along, God, what's next? Wait. So hearing that wait, I threw myself into whatever it was that was in front of me. And during those times, I did some children's ministry, we did some youth ministry, we led some music, did some associate pastor stuff, we cleaned a few toilets, we took out some garbage, we did a whole bunch of stuff during that time of wait, all the while praying, God, what's next? Well, about a year ago, just over a year ago, I came home, I think it was a Wednesday night, and I got our dog, and I always pray best when I walk the dog, so me and Brinkley, we started around the corner, and I remember the exact spot that this happened, praying, God, when? What's next? When? What's next? And I heard it. It's time. And I stopped in my tracks right on the corner of Hickman Road and 40th Place. Seriously? Never heard that before. You know, all I've ever heard is wait, and I heard, it's time. Okay, well, what does that mean? Silence. And so, you know, about a week later, conversation with a friend. What do you do for a living? She told me. I thought, huh, that's interesting. And turns out that her job was community schools coordinator over at Hoover. She told me about her job, and I thought, well, that's kind of fascinating. And she says, you'd be really good at this job. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Conversations with other people kind of progress. We hit the beginning of the summer, and somebody says, you'd be great on our team. Why don't you, if you're interested, let us know. So I sent a resume and see what happens. Fast forward through the summer, lots more conversations, much more wait. In the meantime, being restless, I looked into some other opportunities. It was clear that God was moving me in a certain direction, that it was time to start looking around a little bit. He had me at the edge of that boat, if you will. But I wasn't exactly sure what that was. So being human, being restless, I started pushing on some doors. 5, 6, 7 different things, looking into them. And every door closed. Some opportunities that I thought, man, I'd be really good at that. Nothing. Silence. Jobs that I thought, it's a no-brainer that I'd at least get a phone call. Nothing. One door stayed open. Conversations continued. We hit the fall. School year starts, and I thought, well, must be off the table. No worries. We'll just stay obedient, keep waiting, see what it is that God wants for me next. Right before Christmas, ping, Des Moines Public Schools website, community schools coordinator at Monroe Elementary. Now, rewind. I've been praying specifically for a year for this position at a different school, right? My heart's desire was to be at Moulton Elementary. A good friend of mine is the principal there. He's doing some amazing things. I'd subbed there some during the school year last year. Did that on Fridays just kind of as something to do. And kind of fell in love with the place. A lot of kids, really, really high need area of our city, and a great staff. The kind of place where if people teach there, they're there because they want to be there, not because it was the only available job, not because, you know, they're passing time. It's the kind of place where if you're there, you want to be there. Kind of fell in love with it and thought, that's the kind of place I want to be. Well, so I've been praying specifically for this for a year. So when the job pops up and it's at Monroe, I thought, huh, that's school 1A on my list. We had a connection as a family to Monroe. It's where our kids all went to elementary school. We used to live right around the corner from that little school. It's equally a great spot. And that would have been a very comfortable fit, a good move for me, because the student body at Monroe looks very much like our Wednesday night church looks in terms of culture, in terms of color, in terms of ethnicities, all of those things. It would have been a really, really good spot. But it wasn't my heart's desire. But believing that this is the job I wanted to do, believing Monroe would have been a good place for me to be, I applied. A few weeks later, get a phone call. Hey, can you come for an interview? We'd like to talk to you. Okay, following the steps. Lord, I want what you want. If this is it, make it clear. If it's not, close the door, make it clear. Doors open. Go through the interview process. Go home, you know, and keep in mind, I had not interviewed for anything in 18 years. So you can imagine, I felt like a little kid again. But there was also this sense of peace. It wasn't like, well, I wasn't nervous going into it. I had a very calm kind of sense of, yeah, this is the next step. And my prayer was, if it's what you want, make it clear. If it's not, make it clear. My heart's desire through the entirety of this process has been, I want to be obedient to what it is that you want, Lord. Interview, and goes pretty well. Get a phone call the next day. We'd like you to meet the principal on Friday. So 2-day turnaround. Okay. Yep, I'll follow the steps, God, whatever you want. And my prayer was going in, if this is a good fit, make it clear. I want the best for the school. I want the best fit for me and for my family. Well, I came 11 a.m. on a Friday morning, right after the new year, almost a calendar year after this whole process had begun for me. And the principal of Monroe is sitting in her office, along with the principal from Moulton Elementary, the place that I'd prayed for to be at for over a year. In the 48 hours between my first interview and the second interview, my overall supervisor, Allison is her name, because there had been two great candidates and because they knew this was a position they wanted in Moulton as well, had pushed through a whole bunch of red tape to get this position open up, and with me in mind at Moulton. Not something that she and I had talked about. Over the course of that last year, waiting, praying, trying to be obedient, I saw specific prayers answered. And I sat in that meeting and I thought, this is it. It's humbling. It's humbling. And it's an honor to think that God would hear that, and I believe honor that prayer. Not because it's what I wanted, but hopefully because I promised that I would do what He wanted me to do at whatever the cost it was to me. And so I was offered the position and I accepted it. Last Monday was my first day in the office, and I'm excited about that. After 5 days, I came home Friday afternoon, and Carrie and I both walked in the door around 4:30, and I looked at her, and it was a day at Moulton, believe me. It's a school, it's a unique school. But I can say I've not seen anything yet that shocks me, in part because of everything that we have done here together. Pretty hard to shock me at this point. And I looked at Carrie and I said, you know what, that was a hard day. But there's peace in my heart because I believe, I feel it, it's where I'm supposed to be. I believe that God has been working through the course of the last years to prepare this next step for me. I don't believe that God rewards obedience, but I think, not in the sense that I've never met a prosperity guy, God will give you what you want if you do the right things. I think these last years of my life have been a process of God working in me and through me to match my will up more with what it is that He wants. And honestly, my desire in this new position, just like it has been here for so many years, is to do what Jesus wants me to do. To love God, to love others, to serve Him by serving others, to be available to what it is that He wants to do with the gifts that He has given me. I've wanted nothing more in my time here than to make Jesus great. 17 years when I took the job, that was my commitment to Him and to the church. Jesus has to come first. When I had the opportunity to speak, I would speak highly of Him. I would make sure that people knew that He was my reason, you know, to decrease so that my Savior might increase, and to be obedient to whatever it was that He called me to do. You say, we've done a lot of stuff here, and every day my hope is that I've done what I've done because of who He is, because of what He's done, not to earn His favor, but out of response to the goodness of God that's been poured out in my life and on my life. The verse you'll find in your bulletin from Philippians has really served as a framework for my life and for what it is that He's asked me to do in this time and this place. And this goes all the way back, actually, to that same summer. It's amazing, the connection. The summer that I met Carrie, the summer that picture of Jesus and Peter at Ingham became so important for me, this verse was the one that I think was the theme for my summer and has really guided and shaped my life from that point forward. Philippians chapter 3, it's in your bulletin. To know Christ, to know the power of God that raised Him from the dead, to see that power active in my own life, to share in Jesus' suffering and death, not literally, but metaphorically, if you will, in the continual process of dying to yourself, of putting to death the things of my own kingdom and wanting the things of God's kingdom more. And to experience the glory of the resurrected life. As we die to ourselves, as we grow more like Christ, then we experience life, eternal life here and now, as John's gospel tells us. We experience the life that we are created, I believe, to live. These are the things that I hope have been true of me, that I hope will be true of me and of my life moving forward, regardless of where my service to Jesus takes place. If it's in the walls of a church, it's in the mountains of Colorado, if it's on the corner of 40th Place and Hickman, in the walls of my home, or in the walls of an old school building down on 8th and College, where there's a lot of kids and families that need hope. Remarkable, as I was driving to school one day this week, came past a corner about a block away from the school. And there, I don't know if you've seen them on 6th Avenue, but there looks like chicken wire maybe, but there's words spelled out, right? The one on the corner as I'm driving by the school says hope. I thought, that's fitting. That's what I'm there for, to be a vessel of hope in a neighborhood and the lives of students and teachers and families that made me struggle to find hope because of the circumstance or situation that life has found them in. My hope and my prayer has been to always be more like Jesus, that His power would empower me, that I might lay down my life in obedience to Him for those around me, whoever is in my atmosphere at that present time, in order that I might serve Christ by serving others, and that by doing so, I might find life, true life, abundant life, as God intends for me to truly live. So this truly is my step out of the boat, my leap of faith moment. 20 years of my life, I've only worked in churches. Two of them, to be exact. Right? And so Monday morning, when I walked into my new office for the first time, as you can imagine, I had a lot of questions. There's excitement, a new adventure. I love a new adventure, right? A little bit of fear. What if they don't like me? What if I don't fit in? What if I'm not good at this? You know, what if I get a week into this and I'm no good at it? What if this was a mistake? 5 days in, I'm in the right place. I can feel it. And I've always been a feeler. I can feel it in my bones. I'm where God wants me to be for this next season of my life. And what that looks like long term, I don't know. I don't have to know. I'm not good at goodbyes. You know, I'm a guy who I can look at the past and realize I can't change the past. I don't know what's coming, but I know who holds it, so I'm not too worried about it. I'd like to know a little bit more, but, you know, I also realize that being human, we live in the here and the now. Sometimes that makes it hard for me to say goodbye to people because I'm so focused on what's right in front of me that I'll move forward. These last weeks have been challenging for me personally to say goodbye on some level, to hear thank you. I'm usually the guy who tries to thank you for who you are and what you've done and deflect the thanks for things because it's more comfortable to give it than receive it, right? But what I can say is this. The years that I've spent serving Christ here in this place have prepared me to take the next step. I've learned what it is to serve, to wash feet, to love the least of these. I've learned what it is to sacrifice. Some of you know, maybe more than others, we've been through some hard things here in this place. In nearly 18 years of service, I've seen a lot. I've learned a lot. I've seen the best in people. I've seen the worst in people, too. I've learned what it is to sacrifice. I've learned what it is to be obedient to the present, to be obedient to the presence of God in my life. I want you to know that this next step for me is not a step that I had to take because of anything here. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for every single person that has been, that is, and frankly, that will be, that have yet to come through our doors. I'm grateful to be part of a staff that has been patient with me as I've tried to be obedient to God and as I've wrestled with what was to come, to be patient with that process as well. I'm not angry or frustrated. This is not a bad parting of ways, but rather it's a celebration. Because this next step, this leap of faith for me, really is an answering of the call to be missional with my life. We started this journey together, John and I, a long time ago. Beginning to really grasp what it is to put what you believe into practice in a real, tangible way in the everyday. And I look around this room and there's people who are already doing that. I'm so grateful for it. So many of our initial conversations focused around soccer and soccer fields and how church seemed to be at war sometimes with Sunday morning soccer games. And the truth is, why do you not share your faith there? Nothing hard and fast about coming to church on Sunday morning so long as you're connecting with Jesus and coming sometime, right? Why not share your faith when you have the opportunity, wherever it is that God puts you? Well, that call continued to kind of grow and process in my life. And you know, in the midst of everything that we've done here, you know, reaching out to an apartment complex down the street, asking the question, if we weren't here, would it matter? Having the courage, here's some kids, do something. Right? All of that has caused me to fall more deeply in love with our city and with the people of our city. It's given me eyes to see the need. A need that, frankly, as I drove down that 6th Avenue corridor so many times, I never really realized it was there. And one day you see it, and you can't not respond then to the call to make a difference. This next adventure, I believe, is God calling me to follow him out onto the waves. The easiest thing for me to do would have been to stay. It's comfortable. I know what I'm doing. I know who's here. I know how this works. It would have been easy to settle in and do this for however long I wanted. But the desire for comfort began to be outweighed by this desire to follow, to hear his voice, and to follow him into what was next. The only way I'm ready for that is because of what I've experienced here. It's pretty remarkable, really. I always have kind of laughed when I hear people say, God's not in the public schools. In the course of the last week, I've had as many conversations with people about faith in the hallways of our school as I have in the hallways of our church. The staff at Moulton knows who I am and they know where I'm coming from. It seems to me that they're pretty comfortable talking to me about what they believe because they know already what I believe. And what an amazing thing, not only to be a servant for the kids that we love, but to be somebody that the staff can talk to as well. Man, I pray that God uses that to make a difference. Even if it's just someone who can be positive and offer a little bit of hope when the day goes sideways. Which, if you spend any time in any school, you know that can happen in a hurry. Keep in mind, there's tremendous people of faith slugging it out every single day in our schools. People who are there because it's what God has created them to do, who are answering the call of God on their life to serve the least of these. And that sometimes tying shoes on the playground looks a lot like washing feet. Keep those folks in mind in your prayers. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to Pastor John for his friendship, for his leadership, for his mentoring in my life, for his voice in my life. John and I, we've traveled a lot of miles together in the last 10 years, you know? And I am the leader I am today because of John's leadership in my life. The example that he set, the example of courage that he set, and also for the times when he said hard things to me, when he's pushed me, because it's often in those moments that you grow the most. I'm grateful to our amazing staff, people I've worked with in the past and the people we have in the positions now. I can say this with confidence. Your church is in good hands because there's a whole bunch of people in the office on our leadership boards who hear the voice of Jesus, look at the wind and the waves, and they say, we're going where he wants us to go. It's not easy. It's not always comfortable. Downright scary sometimes. But they want, as a whole, what Jesus wants. And church, isn't that what we should want too? And I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful for this church, for those who've been, those who are, those who will be. You all are not afraid to lay down your lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. What an amazing witness that is to our city, to our children. When I look around the room and I see so many little ones and I think about our Wednesday night stuff and I look on the playground and see kids out there, we have a generation of kids who've seen faith in action, who I believe will have the courage to do it because they've seen the big people in their lives do it first. Thank you for that. Thank you. You've allowed me to grow up. You've allowed me to grow here. It's funny when, you know, I'm talking to somebody after first service. I was a baby when I started here. 22, 23 years old. You know, we had the world by the tail because we had an apartment and a dog. You know? Don't have much more than that now. Got a few more kids in the mix, but no. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this place, for the opportunity to be a part of it. And I'm excited. I'm excited to watch from a distance and see what it is that God has in store, because I believe to the core of my being that God has a plan for this place that is going to be miraculous, marvelous, that it's going to change the lives of the people in our city, our nation, and it's already taking place. What an amazing thing. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for having the courage to take that step out of the boat. So I want to leave you with this. Back to the Jesus story, because that's the most important story. Peter, standing at the edge of the boat, wind and waves, disciples watching. Hears the voice of God say to him, come. And he takes a step, two, three. He had the courage because God called him out to step out of the boat in obedience, in faith to his Savior. He went because God called. He couldn't stay where it was comfortable, where it was warm and dry. What does it look like for you to stand at the edge of that boat? Waves washing over your feet, spray on your face, wind howling in your ears, the eyes of those around you watching. Jesus stands on the water and he beckons, come, come. What does it look like for you to cast your fears aside, to lay down your concern for self, for safety, for comfort? Where is he calling you to follow him, where only faith can lead you, where only faith can sustain you? I don't know what that looks like for each of us, but I'm confident that God is calling us, each, somewhere. Maybe you haven't heard his voice yet. Maybe you've been sitting on that bench in the boat for far too long. Only you can answer that question. But what's it look like for you to take that step out into the waves in faith, believing that it's God who's calling and that it's God who's going to reach down and catch you if you need it? I can say this. I don't know what he's calling you to do, but when you have the courage to step out of that boat, to step out into the wind and the waves in faith, I can say it's beautiful once you're out there. Why don't you stand on up and let's pray. Oh, and so God, we thank you. We thank you for weaving our story into yours, and we thank you for weaving our stories together. And God, I ask that you would give us each the courage to follow you where it is you're calling us to go. Jesus, that we'd have the courage when we hear your voice, because God, I believe you're speaking to us. Give us the courage when we hear your voice to stand up and to step out. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good. Thank you for your grace. Thanks for catching us. Thanks for calling us. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.